I got a loud voice anyway. Most people can hear me no matter what. So this morning, we're only going to look at one little passage of Scripture, and that's in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3. But we're going to talk about King David and the example that he set for us as a father. But first of all, I'd like to offer a word of prayer. Most precious Heavenly Father, as we come to this part of our service, we ask that you humbly open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear from you. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that you've allowed me for the last 3 weeks to be here to preach the word and to just be with these folks. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. I now ask your mercy and your forgiveness on this sinner. I pray, Father, that you'll guide us and direct us, that you'll take over and use me as your instrument this day. I love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, it's going to be 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. There was a group of Sunday school kids, first graders, that were asked to draw a picture of God. Well, there's all kinds of different things that came out of that request. There's one little girl, she drew a picture of a rainbow and said that was God. Another one drew a face of an old man coming out of some billowing clouds. But the one that was probably the best of all was the one that was proudly displayed by a little girl. She said, "I don't know what God looks like, so I drew a picture of my daddy." You know, that's a great compliment that she paid to him. You know, the distinguished pediatric doctor said, "No task in the world is more complicated and challenging than that of raising children." Amen. It is. It's tough. It's rewarding, but it's also a tough job. And I want to add that in raising children, I don't believe there's no more challenging role than being a dad. Because you've got to do all things as a dad. It's easy to be successful in the workplace, in ministry, in athletics, or as a husband. But I think it's difficult sometimes to really be successful as a dad. King David, he was very successful at being the king, being a great military leader, a general, being a builder, and a writer. You know, we still enjoy all of his magnificent psalms that he wrote. But one thing he did fail in, and failed most importantly in, was the area of his life, was the area of fatherhood. He, like a lot of people, didn't do a good job. As a king, he brought to Israel in her golden age of power. You know, he brought her into power. As a general, he widened the boundaries and with his conquest. He turned the city of Jerusalem into a jewel with his talents as a builder. And as I said earlier, as a writer, his magnificent psalms still speak to us today. They're very much something that we enjoy reading. In the Bible, there's 41 chapters that talk about the life of King David. So he played a very big part in the Old Testament. It starts when he's a lad tending his father's sheep up until he's anointed by Saul as Samuel's replacement. Samuel anoints him as Saul's replacement. Sorry, I got to slow down. I get to going too fast. And it leads us all the way up to the very end of his life. David became king of Israel when he was 30 years old, and he reigned for over 40 years, 70 when he was passed away. He had a well-organized government, a highly trained army, and a group of devoted followers. He was what I would call a visionary who put into action the necessary steps to accomplish his dreams. But his trouble started all on a hot summer night when he was up on the roof, looking down upon Bathsheba, which led him to commit adultery, which eventually led him to commit murder. And the Bible from that point on reveals to us little about David except his troubled life and what happens with him and his children. One of those times was his oldest son, Amnon, who raped his half-sister Tamar. And this caused the anger of another son, Absalom, to plan revenge against his brother over his injustice done to his sister. And that leads to Amnon being murdered. Absalom then went into exile for over 2 years. He stayed away because he was afraid of his father's discipline. When Absalom finally returned to Jerusalem, David didn't speak to him for over 2 years. He continued to ignore him. And during that 2-year period, Absalom then started a plot against David. and he leads the people in rebellion, causing David to have to flee for his very life. But eventually, David, he rallies his troops, and he fought back, he claimed his throne, and he became the king again. But in his battle, Absalom was killed. And though his son had rebelled, David still loved him. And we see his weeping in his mirror in this next passage. 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. The king was deeply moved and went up to his chambers over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." You know, that's a worst nightmare of any father, is to have to bury your son, your children. It's not an easy task to go to. And this day today is always my hardest day, because this is the day I really miss my son, Jeff. Because he was the one who really made that Father's Day special for me. Jimmy does too, but Jeff would always go out of his way to take care of it for me. But, you know, David's troubles as a dad are not over. And as he grew older, he had another son by the name of Adonijah plan another rebellion, as he thinks it's time for his dad to retire. So this son, he gathers up his loyal followers, and they attempt to overthrow dad. But once again, David never disciplined the son for that action. He never tried to stop that son from exalting himself. The Bible says in 1 Kings 1:16, "And his father never crossed him at any time by asking him, 'Why have you done so?'" Well, the attempted coup fell. And then Solomon, the other son of David who was born with Bathsheba, he becomes the king. You see, David was successful as a king, very successful as a writer, as a general, and a builder. But you have to admit with me that as a dad, he was a failure. We can learn from David's mistakes. And our first lesson is this: we have to be available. That's one of the biggest keys that I had to learn myself as a dad, especially as we went into ministry, that you had to make certain that you're available for your family and for your children. King David was a busy man, like a lot of men today. He put everything else, he had his priorities all mixed up. He put them above what he should have been doing with his family. He had time for everyone else and everything else except his children and his grandchildren. You know, I sometimes forget that being a father is more than just being biological or physical, but it's also emotional and spiritual. We should be the example. We should be the leaders. To be a good dad, you have to spend time, one-to-one time with your children, giving them that attention that they need, training them in the ways that they should go. I was reading a story here the other day about the authors Gary Smalley and John Trent, and they related a story about a 40-year-old man who still to this day is having their counseling because he was affected by his dad's actions. You know, we don't understand how long that sometimes what we do as a dad when our kids are growing up is going to do to them. The man said this: "I was 12 years old and in Boy Scouts. My troop had planned a father and son camp out, and I was thrilled. I rushed home and tell my dad all about it, because it's going to provide me that opportunity to be able to show my dad everything I have learned as a Boy Scout. Well, the day of the camp arrived, and that young man got all ready. He packed up all the camping gear and got it all ready. He sat out on the front porch all day long waiting on his dad to come home. See, they were supposed to meet with the rest of the scouts and their dads and leave for the campsite at 5 p.m. that day. The young boy sat there until 7:30 p.m. when his dad finally came home. When he got home, he told his son, 'Oh, don't worry. You know, some unexpected things had come up at work, but we'll get there up early the next morning, and we're going to drive up to the campsite.'" Well, the young boy, again, very excited about getting to do this with his dad, he got up at 5 a.m., he packed all the camping gear into their dad's car and got ready. His dad told him that he would be up and they would leave by 7 a.m. His dad didn't wake up till 9:30. The young man was sitting out on the porch when his dad came out with this explanation. The man related that he said, "Son, I can't go camping with you because I have a bad back, and it hurts my back to sleep on the ground. I also have some commitments I have to take care of today. I hope you will be a big boy and understand that we don't always get what we want." As that young man was, for the second time, unpacking all of that camping gear and putting it back into his bedroom, he looked out his bedroom window, and what did he see? He saw his dad go to the garage, take out his golf clubs, load them into his car, and drive away. That young man today says the one thing that continually triggers anger in him is the memory of his dad walking out with those golf clubs and driving off in his car. You see, that scarred him for life. He continues to be angry at his father for that simple act. You know, it's hard to restore trust to somebody when we break that trust, when promises are broken, especially to our kids. You know, when we make a promise to them, we need to be available to handle that promise, to do what we tell we'll do. You know, it's hard to replace joy and that sparkle in an eye when we carelessly step on them. And we do, because we're all imperfect. We make mistakes. The second lesson that we can learn from David is we need to be consistent. Though David was a great man like us, he was imperfect. He had his flaws. He had his faults. We all do, every one of us. David, after his affair with Solomon's mother Bathsheba, kind of set the way for all the other kids. Because look at what the future of his kids were. Amon seduced his half-sister. Absalom slept with his dad's concubines. And Solomon, David's successor to the throne, fell from grace because of his sexual sins. You see, David set the standard. David led the way. And that's what we're seeing reproduced in his children, a living example that the dad taught him to do. You know, there is some truth in that old saying, "Do as I say and not as I do." It'll come back to haunt you many times. I remember that being said to me, and it's not something that I enjoyed hearing. Children need a positive role model in their life because they lead by example, imitating what they see us do. You know, so that's why it's important that we be not only a physical dad, a physical presence, but we provide emotional support and spiritual support to our children as well. A music minister by the name of David Hahn relates a time in his life when he learned a very valuable lesson from his dad. You see, his mom and dad both were always on the stage during church. Dad sang in the choir, and like Arlene, mom was an organ player. Well, one day the church was packed out, and these two boys were left alone to sit by themselves. So mom and dad are up on the stage. The two boys are unattended, and they took advantage of it. They were jumping up and down, talking, laughing, but they finally did one of those ultimate mistakes that kids make. They crawled underneath the pews of the church. Well, when they got home, the dad did like he used to. He did sometimes. You know, they both expected that they were going to be getting a spanking. But that day when they got home, the dad said, "Son, come into the living room. I got something I want to talk to you all about." Well, the boys were fully prepared. They knew they were going to get a spanking for getting in trouble. They figured it'd be just like any other Sunday. They're going to be spanked for their misbehavior and their actions. They came into the living room, and their dad said this, "Sons, I'm a failure to you. I have failed to lead you an example." So he took a yardstick out, he handed it to the oldest son, and said, "I want you to take that yardstick and slap me across the hand, because I need to be punished for not being a good dad and not teaching you how to behave, not giving you a good example for how you act in church." Well, the boys, they started laughing because they thought, "Oh, well, dad's just teasing. He really don't want us to slap him with that yardstick." But his dad was very serious about it. David related that he seldom seen his brother cry But I'll never forget my father having to shout at him to pick up that yardstick and to spank him across the back of his hand. As his brother began to smack his father's hand, the emotions built up inside of him until he was weeping uncontrollably and he could not continue. Well, the dad handed it to the younger son and said, "Your turn now." But he said, David said, "My hands were limp and there was no way I could do what my dad was asking. I couldn't hit my dad's hands." David said this, that he'll never forget the impression that that left on him as a child because his dad was willing to take his punishment for his bad behavior. You know, that's a perfect example of what Jesus Christ did for us. He was the one who gave sacrificial love. He gave his all to take our punishment. So moms, dads, grandparents, moms, dad, everybody, you know, we need to be available for our kids. And we also need to be able to be an example to them in everything that we do. Like Jesus was a willing sacrifice for us. He provided with us that wonderful gift of life. He took away the sins from our lives and brings forgiveness into it. He allows us to know that there's something besides just what we have here. There's that hope that we have in eternal life. Jesus gave us the ultimate example of what we as parents should be. We should be humble and loving, but we should also be disciplining and stern when that time comes. And if you've never come to that point in your life when you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, we're going to have an invitation. And in that invitation, it's a time for you to come and let me explain to you more about what it means to be saved, what it means to have your sins forgiven and to get that gift of salvation that David, that Jesus so offers us so freely and so openly. Jesus died for you. He paid the penalty for you. And he provides for you the example. When we learn to experience the love of Jesus, then as parents, we can share that same sacrificial love out of that love that we have for him. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege to once again look at the Bible and to see some examples of dads that did the wrong thing, to see an example of how a father failed his kids. And then another example of how a father tried to teach his lessons, his sons a valuable lesson, that sacrificial love does not come easy. So, Lord Jesus, now as we put this time of invitation in your hands, we ask that your will be done. May you guide us and direct us. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on this place. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.